Today's episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by Scentbird, a luxury perfume subscription service. Today's episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is also sponsored by Eucora, a UTI prevention company. Built in collaboration with physicians and urologists, Eucora is dedicated to bringing you products that work so that you can stay ahead of UTIs. Inner Ho Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe living in New York City.
And Akua, one angry black hoe right now.
Damn, because niggas is out here. It's capitalism.
Capitalism. They're trying to has run really your pockets. Infuriated me so much.
Capitalism
in this
is like Debo from Friday.
Oh my.
Like just shaking you for all that you have all the fucking time. Capitalism is the Gross Sisters.
It's funny. Yeah, no,
we have all these depictions of capitalism that are black children. People.
When it should not be.
It should be a white man.
Huh.
The white man is trying to get my money, even though he has more than me. What the fuck is up with that? Yeah, so in this podcast, we have two types of episodes, but in each, we dismantle capitalism all day, every. Yeah, so we have group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of the show, and one of my lovely rotating co-hosts, talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. And on group episodes, all of the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours.
And this episode is an interview episode. Woo. Today, we're talking with Leah Rowe, co-founder of the art collective Motherlode. We'll be talking to her about their work at the intersections of virtual reality and sex education.
And it's good. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. But before we get into all that, we'll do a couple of short segments. They are as follows.
Bay of the Week.
We talk about people who we find attractive.
Ho of the Week.
We shout out you guys, the homies, listeners, and the fans.
Self-care tip of the week.
Where we give y'all some advice on how to take care of yourselves.
And pay a ho.
Which is where we beg for the money that capitalism requires us to have to keep the show going. That's really what it is. Point blank, period.
So if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so we can see it, and hashtag PodIn so other people can see it.
And if you would like to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, independent podcasting, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show or that you think are relevant to us, we would love to do so. So please book us, send us a line to ISUpodcast@gmail.com. Now we're going to go into Bay of the Week.
Bay of the Week.
I don't know why I was drunk while I was writing this, but I was.
Why
so,
not? What do you mean, why?
My first Bay of the Week was Riesling wine, my favorite kind of wine. That's it.
Saint Samantha Riesling.
Yeah, Riesling
Christmas
or tequila.
Is coming.
Yeah, Christmas is coming, and I do celebrate it, even though, am I a Christian? No.
No.
But I do like gifts, nigga.
Exactly. And we like being with our families.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that part too.
It's like when people.
That's
like
what
when
Thanksgiving
black,
is for, though, really.
But it's like
I mean,
when black people celebrate the 4th of July. Are we celebrating independence?
We're
no,
celebrating
nigga.
My birthday and being together.
Exactly.
And hot dogs.
And, you know, a day off of motherfucking work where
yes.
we can eat and commune
exactly.
with our community.
Exactly. Yeah,
and that's what Christmas is.
Thanksgiving, we're not celebrating like the pilgrims and shit. Like fuck those guys. We're trying to eat and have fun with our peeps.
And have another day all weekend off.
Yes, exactly.
Because
you get that Thursday and that Friday.
Because capitalism is tiring. That's what we're doing.
It's the worst. In addition to wine, mm-hmm. Bays of the Week are Queer Walk, So Money and Nikita, and Diamond Styles. Last weekend, we went up to Syracuse.
Yes.
And they did a good fucking thing. That symposium was like out the water good.
Like,
it was so good. I'm
it
so
was
proud.
Everything that I needed, that I didn't know that I needed.
Yeah.
In that space, on that topic.
Exactly.
It was orchestrated well.
Yes.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. I was so proud of friends. I was
yes,
like, those are
exactly.
my friends.
I know these people. I know them. I know them. Yeah.
And I was so proud and so excited.
Yes. So Queer Walk, Money and Nikita through this whole entire event. It was a symposium.
Queering the airwaves.
Yes. Queering the airwaves. Queer trans people of color in the media. So in addition to that, they did a live show of their podcast. Wow. And they did like a really important workshop about how to get into podcasting, which mm-hmm. I think was really cool. Shout out to Queen and Jay from Tea with Queen and Jay, who were also there. Also, Ishoke from the Cheers with Queers podcast, who was also there. In addition to that, Diamond Styles did this great, I guess you could call it a keynote.
Mm-hmm.
which was, Diamond is just fucking smart. And I just learned so much. And then at the Queer Walk live show, Nikita came out with all these facts about organizing histories they pertain to not only like queer organizing, but as those pertain to other movements. Mm-hmm. And that was fucking smart as shit. And then Diamond got in there with like all the trans history and stuff like that. And I was just like, wow, I'm learning so much. No, like— Thank you. Yeah.
I'm always in awe when they open their mouths. I'm
just like... Which is why I used to listen to both of those shows, because we were just listening in the car.
No, you're literally learning every episode on both podcasts.
And then Money also did her mental moment this week, which we needed. Yeah.
Well, we say we took that
about how to combat seasonal depression.
And we were like, this is for us right here. Yeah. We took it home. We are putting it into our
party.
Lives.
Yeah, we're doing a weighted blanket party. Money. That's actually, I'm going to make listening to Queer Mock my self-care tip of the week. Once again, like listen to Queer Rock and listen to Marsha's play Black Trans Talk. We can skip Hove, that we can go back to it and just go right into self-care tip of the week,
which is just listen to Queer Walk. And I found that I'm always, it's become a self-care routine. I'm always listening to Queer Walk on my way to therapy.
Wow. And it's like, so Money is actually your second therapist.
Yes, she is. And it's like, the theme song gets me in such a good mood, bitch. That is a motherfucking intro, and I'm listening and I'm bouncing so I get to therapy and I'm in a good mood in therapy, and it all comes out, and then I continue listening afterwards. But that's also why I don't listen to it as frequently as I should. They're bi-weekly, but then I catch like a week later because my therapy is also bi-weekly, and it's just it's not synced.
That's what podcasts are for, though. Engage with it when you need to
engage with it. And it's like so accessible, and just listen to Queer Walk.
Y'all. Yeah. Self-care tip of the week. Now in the hole of the week. So shout out to Megan C, Molly D, Diamond Styles once again, Sydney M, Julia C, Natalie. I don't know what Natalie's last initial was, but thank you all for paying a hoe this week. Because y'all know we need it. Y'all know we need it.
Thank you.
We're in a basement right now, but it's a good basement.
It's growing on me, bitch. We was in here, it felt so intimate, and I was like,
that's
I need
what
to
Leah
do
said.
This.
She was like, it's very intimate in here. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, it's small. And she was like, no, I like it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
It's the introvert, I think. I just like settings, small settings. And then also today is the day of our Halloween party. So
the day we're recording.
Yeah, but we're doing it a couple hours beforehand. So thank you in advance to everybody who came out tonight, who got fucked up, who got twerked on.
Watch me twerk on this mermaid tail.
Who won the prize. What else? Let's predict the future. What else is going to happen? No one's going to pass out this time.
Yeah, no one's going.
It's too cold for that shit. It's too fucking cold for
I'm not standing out there with you at 5 a.m. in the rain.
Yeah.
Please.
No, I'm still going to do it, but like, please don't do that.
Yeah, it's like, please be responsible.
What else? What else is going to happen? Shorty with the fat ass. I don't know. I just feel like.
Oh, yeah. There will be one.
Well, nigga who looks like me, who's going to be there, who I've never seen before. I'm going to be like, I love you.
I was going to predict a new nigga for Samantha. Who are we hooking up with?
I wish there's a new nigga.
Let's see. Will one of us hook up with someone?
Let's all do it. Well, not Rebecca. No, not Rebecca. But everybody else.
Who's someone?
Yeah. Let's get some sex tonight.
Y'all better find your Halloween bae and your cuffing season partner at this party. Exactly. You don't know what's going to happen.
This is the last instance, right? Yeah. Like,
Come on.
This is the final round. If
you walk
in,
you're wearing a Jane costume. He got on Tarzan. Boom. You didn't even know. You didn't even fucking know. It's your nigga now. Let's go.
Exactly. Or like the two women who come as Wonder Women or something like that.
And now y'all are both Amazonian goddesses.
Or the two niggas who are Killmonger.
Ooh.
I would watch a porn of that.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, like, Ooh, child.
Definitely watch a porn of that. All right. If you'd like to help support this show monetarily, you can do so by going to innerhoeuprising.com, clicking the tab Pay a Ho Once or Pay a Ho Monthly. Pay a Ho Once takes you to our PayPal, which is paypal.me/innerho. You can donate any amount of money that you want at any time that you want. Pay a Ho Monthly sets you up with our Patreon, so you can do $2 a month, or you can do $5 a month, or you can do any less or any more than that. Well, you can't do zero, but you can do anything from a dollar and up. And that is a monthly donation that you're continuously giving to support our show, which we would greatly appreciate. And in addition to us greatly appreciating it, if you do $2 a month, you get discount codes to events that we do. And if you do $5 a month, you get video content. So this past week, I did an unboxing of some Tenga products that we got. And I was just like, ooh, this feels squishy. What does it smell like? So you get to hang out with me doing weird stuff like that sometimes. And then also, I'm setting up a newsletter to send to people, and any other kind of content that you want for $5 a month, you can dictate it because you're paying for it. So let us know, ihupodcast@gmail.com. Sexy Sundays at Love Story.
Yes, yes, yes.
Every first Sunday of the month, Inner Ho Uprising is teaming up with Pleasure Chest to throw a sex trivia night at our favorite bar, Love Story. We're always there.
Always.
Come drink, play trivia, win a prize, and if you're any good, you get to go home and come again with the prize that you won. So this is on the border of Ridgewood and Bushwick at Love Story Bar. Your favorite hoes are hosting, so kick it with us for a real chill time before you get thrown back into the Think of Capitalism on Monday morning. It's free 99. Come through, drink. It'll be from 9 to 11 p.m. on Sunday nights, the first Sunday night of the month. More info in the description of this episode. You don't have to RSVP. You can just show up. Work it! November 13th at the Knockdown Center, WNYC is throwing their Women in Podcasting Festival. I'm doing a panel about the intersection of podcasting, tech and futurism, and being a woman of color. So the kinds of stuff that we talked about on this episode, for example, why don't we talk about that more? Why, when we talk about that, isn't that like on the top of the podcast charts, for example, or why aren't shows like that or that have focuses like that being funded? We're going to talk about it. If you're going to work it or considering going to work it, please come through to my panel. And if you can't afford work it, keep an eye out for the scholarships that they hold for next year's festival. Last but not least, November 17th, we're teaming up with a community web project called Not Yet, which pairs a web series production with in-person events curated by women, queer people, and people of color. So November 17th, they're hosting a sex positivity art bazaar at the New Women's Space, which is in Williamsburg. And we're doing a live show from 1 to 3. So the link for that is not yet available. But if it is by the time that I edit this, I'll put it in the description of this episode. But I just want you guys to get it on your calendars. We're doing a live show about sexual health with very cool people who we've wanted on the show for a long time now.
And finally got the space and the opportunity to do so.
Exactly. So please come through to that. You'll see more information for the link in the description of this episode. Woo! All right, and before we get into the actual show, you know what really turns my narcissistic ass on?
A picture of yourself.
That too, but... Man, I'm terrible. When somebody is intoxicated with my scent.
Oh, well, duh.
Yes. Kissing on your chest and he goes, damn, you smell so good. Or after you leave somebody's house and he's like, oh, my bed still smells like you. That's my favorite thing.
That would go in line with your, what was that? The quiz we did? You're an attractor.
Yes, an attractor type.
It all goes in line. Yes. So I see it. It does.
Mm-hmm. But this also goes in your line, sense, because you like sensual things.
Actually, you're very right. If it smells good, like Sember.
Yes.
I'm with it. Yes. It keeps me in the zone. It'll keep me going.
So now, both you and I use this little service called Scentbird, which keeps us smelling good month after month. And today's episode of the Inner Hall Uprising happens to be sponsored by Scentbird, which is why we're actually talking about it right now. So Scentbird is a luxury perfume subscription service. And yeah, so I got my first round of scents a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. And I like it for a couple of reasons. One... Okay, so I'm very like, oh, it's fall. I have to start wearing mustard now and things like that. So also like, oh, it's fall. I can't smell like flowers anymore. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what is my new scent going to be for like this season? Yeah. So Scentbird actually has a thing where it's like you see all of the scents that they have that are pertaining to fall or winter or spring or summer. And you also see like, oh, this would be good for date night. Oh, this is good for the office. Because, you know, those are two different scents. Like, you'd be funking it up for the date night. Like, oh, love me. But in the office, you just want to be like demure. Like, you don't want somebody to know that you just walked by and stuff like that. So it has like all of these different categories and you can choose your scents like that. So I chose 5 different fall scents and I like 4 of them, mm-hmm. which is pretty good. But just the fact that I could skip the department store and all the pushy salespeople, because mm-hmm. I feel like their scents also stink.
They're always so strong. You're like, I don't want to smell like that. Actually, you make a good point, because the scents that I chose, I also saw and I was able to sample it. Whereas when you spray it in the store, it just smells like the store.
Exactly.
And they charge me the full bottle.
For the full bottle.
And I go home and I'm like, I don't like this.
Exactly. You don't like it, or it's like, you don't want to smell like that anymore, because
yeah.
then it's a different season. You're like, I don't want to smell like passion fruit. I'm not on the beach. Mm-hmm. I'm in a coat. So Scentbird has 450 designer brands, and you choose one every month. So anything from Prada, Gucci, Kate Spade, Nest. Nest is one of my favorite ones. I got Indigo by Nest.
I got Candy by Prada, which I love.
What does it smell like?
I smell delicious.
Ooh, yes.
And then
exactly.
I got...
I want to be eaten.
I
in
do
more ways
eaten.
Than one.
And like, I want you to smell me and say, ooh, I want to eat you.
Exactly.
Like, that really was
exactly.
what it was.
Exactly.
And then I got Guilty by Gucci.
Ooh.
All the scents I picked are just label holes, because I'm a label hole. I was like, ooh, designer name, let's try it.
Yeah.
But I got Guilty by Gucci, which is a very date night scent. It's
ooh.
it's like grown woman, but a nighttime, because I also have a brunch scent.
Yes.
But it's more like date night, nighttime, but you still smell professional, I guess. I don't know what
yes.
that is.
Another one, my favorite one is Mysteriosa by Ferragamo, which mm-hmm. also is kind of like, oh yeah, bitch, I'm Italian now.
Yeah.
But that's also like a nice fall one. And then Juliet Has a Gun, Not a Perfume. I was looking for like a really good clean smell
mm-hmm.
that just kind of smells like nothing, but not too like, oh, this is just soap, because
mm-hmm.
I could just be. Yeah, I could just be out. But just something that has like a little kick to it, but also just like a plain smell and mm-hmm. Not a Perfume mm-hmm. by Juliet Has a Gun is very good.
Okay.
Yeah, so you try exactly the brands that you want, mm. and they're the real brands. It's not like somebody's farting in water and can't see you. It should be very fucked up of them to do. So it's kind of like a monthly scent adventure. So you choose a perfume. They send you a 30-day supply. That's 120 sprays, so you always smell amazing, which kind of makes sense if you do it in terms of like the math of it
mm-hmm.
all. And it's free shipping all the time, which is very important.
So with Scentbird, you get to test it out. You get to pick the ones you think you like to smell. You use this. You use Sam's method, categories.
Yes.
Fall, spring, winter, bath, bed, whatever they got for
us. It's a
novel
concept. It's very good.
And if you like it, you keep ordering it.
Yes. So that's why we use Scentbird.com. We want you to also use Scentbird.com. So with this exclusive offer, you get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first perfume. That's Scentbird.com/ho and use code HO for 50% off your first month. That's Scentbird.com/ho. Sign on and smell amazing. Let's get into the actual show. All right, ready to get into the topic of the day?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
So we're here. Very exciting stuff. Getting real geeky today. Is that okay to say?
Oh, of course.
Okay, cool. So, joining us to talk about sex education and VR and art and sex tech and all that cool stuff is Leah Rowe. Leah is a New York City-based 3D artist who explores the intersection between virtual spaces and storytelling. She is one of 3 co-founders of a female-run digital art lab called Motherlode. Motherlode is a digital art lab for interactive 3D/VR/AR design. Very fucking cool. Their mission is to create inclusive digital havens using new and immersive technology. Welcome, Leah.
Thank you. Oh, that was a great bio.
You wrote it yourself.
I always feel that the mission statement just changes. I don't know if you guys feel that, but
yeah.
It's always just different words that you mm-hmm. feel like
cool.
are more.
That's an interesting place to start. So like when was Motherlode created and why?
So Motherlode was created last year in response to my 2 female identifying partners, and we were all working at a virtual reality lab last year in New York City, where it was very male dominated and we felt that the workplace was pretty sexist, in that anytime when we would contribute our ideas or try to have any type of input or say, they would just not listen. And we were completely underpaid and underappreciated. Just our voices were not being heard at all. And we just decided, why don't we start our own virtual reality lab?
Yeah. Wait, where can we know where and what this VR lab was? First of all, I didn't even know a VR lab was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
What
it's
does that
not,
mean?
That,
taking it to
good
the very
question,
beginning.
Okay. And I would even ask the people who call themselves the virtual reality lab, because that is what they, this one startup, which I do not mind saying that this is a lab called Jump Into the Light. It's okay. In the Lower East Side. And it's a lab in that it's a what they call a play lab. So mm-hmm. it's you go in and you pay a certain amount of money to explore just different virtual reality games and a couple of augmented reality games. And you just pay a fee to kind of experience just these different
technologies.
So kind
of like VR World?
So it's exactly like VR World, which also have had some issues with their female employees
really?
As well. Yeah.
Whoa.
Just
is this episode just going to be like unpacking sexism in VR?
It's been a whole a very just system. It just, from whom I've spoken with of other, you know, female identifying tech professionals who work in this industry have also experienced the same type of sexism in the workplace where, you know, they would be trying to contribute their ideas and maybe their upper management, which I had experienced, like does not listen, or anytime when I would say something, they would respond to my male coworker. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I was the one that asked. I asked you that I did. This is mine. And it's just, you know, why is it that just our voices are unheard or maybe just underappreciated?
This is like a everlasting question where people are like, oh, there's an issue with like sexism in STEM.
Yeah.
But is it specifically STEM or is it life?
No, it's life.
I think it's just embedded. It's,
yeah.
It just comes with, I feel like maybe the culture of the men that are hired, I feel like they have just been used to, it's just the boys' club, either hiring other, you know, just hiring their friends or hiring other people that they feel like they can go home and game together or talk tech and feel that, like, just people who identify as women, like, just won't understand or won't be a part of or won't be able to contribute and participate. So they just either ignore us or, you know, don't hire us for the upper management positions or... Yeah.
Trash does.
Mm-hmm.
So this is jumping way forward and just asking you like to solve a problem. But do you think the fix is like specifically like doing what you guys did with Motherload? Is it just creating your own space or is it like,
I think it's,
should they change?
Right. This? Right. You know, it is that question of should you be hired at maybe a company or a corporation that you maybe don't agree with, where your missions or your values don't align, but should you work within the system to change the system?
Yeah.
Or should you start your own? And but then, you know, you have the potential maybe of pigeonholing yourself to people who you feel, who I guess you feel the most comfortable with and make work that, you know, is the target audience of people who you that might not reach that audience that you feel like has the most to learn from.
Yeah.
But you kind of just have to find a balance of, we do, at least with Motherload, we were started by three, just me and my two female partners, but, and our work does maybe have some type of female aesthetic because it is on sexuality and at least it's based off of our experience, but we don't feel that that only women can
benefit
understand
from it,
exactly. So we do try to make our work.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly what we're doing here. This show is specifically for like black femmes, but everybody learns from this fucking
show. Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So talking in terms or creating work and content that, right, is at least universally, or people would just be able to understand, mm-hmm. and it's not.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the concept of, like, intersectionality. Like,
totally.
When you address people at the margins, everybody benefits, as
right.
opposed to when you're just addressing
right.
populace.
The white dudes who are fucking up VR World. That's crazy. It smells in there. Have you ever been to VR World?
Oh, I have.
Does it not smell in there?
Well, it's just the, I mean, maybe it's just like the male.
Is it just the men?
If it is just the men and the lack of maintenance. It's hygiene of what it is.
Yeah.
Especially in Jump Into the Light that you would get people who, at least in the summer.
Oh, man.
Who game a lot, who maybe yeah. just sweat within their headset a lot because they're very passionate and
yeah.
focused in whatever game that they're doing.
Uh-huh.
And then they leave and they kind of just. And it is our responsibility to clean up the equipment, but sometimes you don't get it to it in time and other people will use it before you're able to. It's just
oh,
a lot
man.
Of sweat and
sweat,
aggro
sexism.
Male gamer energy.
Oh, man.
It was stank.
Yeah.
It stank in there.
It is. It's a big
I went on
stank.
A date there one time and it just, it's kind of horrible. It's kind of horrible.
I think that could make or break a date. If you kind of see who that other person reacts or acts in that type of environment.
Yeah. He was cool there. Except for, like, there's this one where you're hang gliding or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was on that one. He just looks so ridiculous. I think anyone looks ridiculous on
right.
it.
Right.
But I had to see him.
You had to see him in that light when you're trying to pursue him romantically. And it's like, ooh,
right.
you look
After
dumb.
This, can I imagine you naked?
Ooh.
You're just on top of me.
Hang gliding.
That's all you see. No.
Let's see how you spin.
Safe to say, we never had sex. We have not had sex to this day. Great guy, though. You're very nice.
Lovely.
Cool. So tell us about the process of starting Motherload.
Yeah.
So my two partners and I had worked together at this one. At Jump Into the Light, mm-hmm. we decided we wanted to start
our
own.
Is that where you all met?
That's where we all met. Where
cool.
at least I met them and they went to NYU together.
Okay.
And so they knew each other, and then that's how I met them. And then we left to start our own lab and applied to New Ink, which is the New Museum's incubator program for mm-hmm. art and technology. So you apply either as like an artist, a tech person, a social worker, just professionals who want to work at the intersection of art and technology who are creating work that is sustainable and, you know, values culture and rather than capital value. It's just kind of, I hate to say the word socially ethical, but like,
okay.
you know, sustainable projects that maybe help the community
gotcha.
More so than just, I guess.
Do your own shit to
do
sell.
Do your own
it.
Work to sell. Yeah,
gotcha.
To
okay,
get
cool.
money.
Uh-huh. Cool.
And so we had applied with Pillow Talk,
okay.
our sex education virtual reality series,
mm-hmm.
and we started that last year, and our New Ink officially ended because it's a year-long program this past August.
Okay. So are you continuing?
So Motherload is continuing, but we are now just based out of Brooklyn
mm-hmm.
instead of the museum.
Gotcha.
But we were able to... At New Ink, start or at least get our foot in the door with Pillow Talk and meeting all the different professionals in Women of Sex Tech
mm-hmm.
and just in the field of sexuality, tech, art, female entrepreneurship, which is, mm-hmm. I feel like, what a lot of Women of Sex Tech kind of focuses on. So we were able to meet with a lot of people who helped us
mm-hmm.
with our project because we know... With Pillow Talk, I mean, when we talk about this all the time, we are not sex educators ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are the artists and the
yeah.
tech developers and
yeah.
the people behind Motherload who are trying to produce this, you know, virtual reality series and complete it to fruition. But we are ourselves not the educators behind it. So we have people on our team with the resources
mm-hmm.
and education background to help us because we, you know, like we all come from art backgrounds that we're not. We do not want people to come to us and ask
gotcha.
Us specifically of questions relating to Yeah, and I think people get that a lot based off of the work. They'll come up to me and ask me about, like, what sex toy should I, you know, or all of these personal questions. I'm like, I don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Which is good. It's good that you know the distinction.
Right. That we are not, that we, and because sexuality is something that, like, you know, everybody is, it's evolving, that people have a different experience with all the time. And we just, and I just know that as a cis heterosexual woman, that I do not have the experience to be educating other people who maybe identify in other ways about their sexuality. Like, it's that we are very much the, we will create this content that people will help us with and backed with research that.
Gotcha. Tell us about Pillow Talk.
So Pillow Talk is a virtual reality three-part series. And as of now, we split it into three parts, though we know just the topics that are excluded from sex education are infinite. I feel like, you know, you can talk about sexuality and all of the topics that would be included in what is sex education for so long. But we, as of now, had just, I guess, prioritized three specific topics that we felt that were the most important for people, especially youth and adolescents, to learn that we didn't necessarily have in our own upbringings.
Okay.
And the first out of three we had premiered at Babeland this past summer. So that was called Lube River.
Yeah.
And so that focused specifically on self-pleasure and masturbation and sex toys that are inclusive and for people who, you know, maybe identify as a different gender that maybe are not as aware of all of these amazing products that are coming out, that have been out, that is the future for people. There's, you know, a taboo, I feel like, around sex toys that maybe, you know, vibrators are only for women or people who are single should only be using sex toys that, you know, that there's a whole world of toys that are, that you can use with your partner, that you can, you know, no matter if you have a penis or a vagina or
In between.
Yeah. If you're interested, just everything that there is a product out there for you. So we, it's just an exploration of all of these different types and of these toys that are available. And we partnered with Babeland and we premiered that in June. Our next two episodes that we're developing now is on, the next one is on communication and consent. So it's just trying to teach or at least open the conversation on a language that you can use with your partner in and out of the bedroom, and just focusing on asking for consent, definitely, which is, you know, such a hot topic now that needs to be taught to everybody, because I just feel that people, especially who, if you were, if you were only getting your education on consent on, like, through porn or, you know,
there is no consent
medium, which there is no consent, or just like, you know, maybe just films made by men where all of these women, where they just showing male protagonists where they feel entitled to, it's just things that are not, that there's not a language on asking women, like, how does this feel? Do you like it when I do this? Is this, and vice versa, men to women, or just, you know, however you identify, just with your partner. How does this feel? Is it okay if I kiss you here? Is it okay if I touch your hair? Is it okay if I, questions that help people, because every body is different. So every person who has, every person's relationship with sex is different, and people have a different way of going about things. And I think that a lot of times people are afraid or uncomfortable to ask these types of questions with their partner because there's just such a, you know, people might feel
it's
like,
not encouraged.
Exactly.
And it's not modeled.
It's not encouraged. It's not modeled. And there seems like there's no reason to do it. Even
right.
though there is.
There's a whole reason.
Exactly. So through the world of VR, like, how is that going to play out?
So this is what we want to do is we, and this is through a lot of conversations that we had with sex educators from just different sex stores like Babeland and Good Vibrations and just educators who, I guess, talk about communication and consent, that a lot of the times of how you should go about talking, just communicating with your partner of what you like in bed, it should be as direct as you ordering a sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody has a different relationship to sandwiches. Mm-hmm. That the way that I want my sandwich to be made is different than your sandwich.
Yeah.
And so it should be like, I want my bread toasted like this. I want mayonnaise. That's too much mayonnaise. It's too much mayonnaise. I want turkey. I do not want, if you're a vegetarian, if you do not like a lot of condiments, if you don't, mm-hmm. that everybody has a different relationship. Yeah. So it's called the sandwich shop of communication.
I like it.
And I like so, this analogy. Yeah, that's so good. I'm just at Subway like, oh, I like exactly. it like this. I don't like it like that.
Well, so each one of our episodes is revolved around the idea of sex education and sex, but it's not, you do not see any act of sex or mm-hmm. it's all very abstract or kind of.
It's not VR porn.
It's not VR porn, which okay. we get all the time when people ask me, like, are you making VR porn? We're like, no, this is about sex and sexuality, but talking in metaphors or in experiences uh-huh. that just open up the conversation and trying to show ways that are not, you know, that young adults can look at and gain from that are not trigger or not pornographic, triggering, objectifying. It's just in a way that just at least just opens up the conversation on mm-hmm. that specific topic. Mm-hmm. So because, like Lube River, you're not looking at these sex toys and shoving it up inside your own virtual self. You're just down a river of lube on a vagondola, which is a vulva-shaped condola, picking up these sex toys and just learning about it, and they talk to you.
Oh. The sex toys talk to you. That's so cool.
They all have different personalities, so which is very, it's a very fun game-like, playful experience that kind of just takes out the maybe shame and uncomfortableness of what, you know, it's a lot of times that comes with sex and talking about your body or just very intimate topics like this.
Yeah.
You're ordering a sandwich for the communication and consent episode. You're ordering a sandwich in front of a avatar person and
the deli guy.
Yeah, so there's a sandwich artist.
I see my deli guy.
Yeah, I see it right now.
There's a sandwich artist, and you have to be to go throughout the game using terms that we will try to, you know, encourage that we have you, I guess, practice mm-hmm. saying.
And make a part of your repertoire.
Exactly, exactly. Ah. So you can learn and then hopefully then use with your own partner.
Yeah.
Just terms that, because we've learned that, you know, if you want to communicate with your partner, maybe that you don't like it when they pull your hair, mm-hmm. and instead of being like, I don't like it when you pull my hair, because that could potentially, you know, your partner might feel a little bit shit or like feel guilty or be like, I'm so sorry. At least that's me. Maybe what I would feel. I would feel like I mm-hmm. don't want, I want my partner to, you know, have the best experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you just talking in terms of what you do like in ways that are positive.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I love it when you do this. How about you know, not pull my hair in this way, but I love it when you touch the back of my neck.
Yeah.
Or it just things like
constructive criticism.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
And then the third part.
Even, I'm sorry. That just reminded me of like a compliment sandwich since we're on the topic of sandwiches.
Yeah. Compliment sandwich.
I really like when you do this, but sometimes this hurts a bit much, but you're really great at this too.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I've never looked at
exactly.
sandwiches like this
before. Yeah, this because cool. people, you know, when you're naked and you're in these situations, mm-hmm. you're so vulnerable that you don't want to feel like you did something wrong or that you're hurting something, that you it's all that you want both parties to feel like they're in a safe environment and that you can communicate these things, but you want to make sure that the other person feels good
mm-hmm.
so you can thus feel good and just having,
so we can have a good time together
and just be positive
so
about these types of topics
mm-hmm.
and then our third one is on just the difference between gender identity and sexual orientation
mm-hmm.
so just learning about how your gender identity, you know, is not just how you were born or your sexual orientation. It is, as of now, roughly based on, I don't know if you've seen the diagram of the gender unicorn, where it kind of shows where different parts of your gender identity and sexual orientation are within your body, that
I was
it's not.
Just looking at that.
Yeah,
that
it's, So the gender unicorn is was created by I think it's the Trans Center a lot, just an organization. Yes. That just talks about, I mean, just shows and just, you know, a cute.
That is a cute.
A cute unicorn. Unicorn of, okay. of where oh, you're, who, you know, who you're emotionally attracted to, sexually attracted to, that yeah. this isn't, all of this isn't, you know, how you were, that this isn't something that.
A doctor can say
right,
when you're born.
Right, right. Just because, yeah, you were. Maybe born with a vagina, that means you have to be attracted to somebody without a vagina. Like, it's yeah. just putting that into perspective. So we want to use, to incorporate that in a mirror setting. So you put on the virtual reality headset and you can see an avatar that we create, and it'll mimic your movements in the headset and kind of just show and highlight all the different parts in your body of where maybe these identities are formed.
Oh, okay.
That's so cute.
Like,
and we're saying that's so cute. And I was like, oh, Dave can do something like this. Dave is a Kua son who's mm-hmm. 8. Can an 8-year-old do something like this?
We would hope that.
Well, maybe not Lube River.
Maybe yeah, not Lube River. That's a little. Yes, we.
but this one, the name of the last project again, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so we haven't. As of now, it's. Yeah, we haven't finalized a title for the third one yet, as we just are calling it Mirror Mirror, only since because there is a mirror, and I think that's just what people ought. But we're not
still
actually.
In the works.
That's not the final. Yeah.
But it's not targeted towards children.
We would like children to be able to gain something from that. Ideally, our target audience would be people, you know, maybe roughly in just middle-ish to high school.
Okay,
just when sex education in high school is taught. Like, my sex education somewhat started in, I think, 7th, 8th grade, mm-hmm. when you're experiencing, you know, puberty, all that. But
even 6th grade, I think that's when mine started.
Yeah. Okay. So something that at least you'd be able to. We're trying to create it that it's not, or using terminology that's not so, yeah, I guess advanced and just mm-hmm. complicated that younger folks can't understand. But we do also know that, you know, sexual and these type of topics is something that people are constantly learning and evolving. So we do also want it to be, you can be no matter what age, in your 70s and still watch, you know, experience Lube River and want to buy a sex toy after, mm-hmm. you know. So we hope that. But also, I think the problem with a lot of age is with just virtual reality as a medium, mm-hmm. that I feel like, at least with older generations, that they can be less comfortable, I guess just more hesitant in putting on a virtual reality headset and being able to learn how to use the controllers in a way that's intuitive, because mm-hmm. we are so, just our generation is just so used to controllers and having things in your hand and putting on, you know, these type of heads, like, just that it's a lot easier for us to pick up a new technology and kind of just learn how to use it on the go.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like, yeah, I think just the medium itself can be maybe a little bit more ageist than the content. And there isn't virtual reality. At least we had faces at Jump to the Light when we were putting on headsets for children.
Mm-hmm.
They're too big.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
They don't make children size, because they all come in one size. And even though the head strap kind of adjusts based off of your head shape, mm-hmm. it's very heavy.
Mm.
Like, if you looked at them, they're becoming lighter and just more, I guess, just accessible.
Mm-hmm.
That the technology is changing, that they are becoming, I guess, just easier to use. And you could just put it on and they don't have as many wires and it's not as heavy. But still, now it's not to that point yet that it's still a little bit. And people who, you know, don't have the, who need to wear glasses to look at content, they haven't created headsets yet. You can put glasses, but a lot of times people who wear glasses inside the headset, it's just like very uncomfortable and it'll scratch their lens and they don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's like there are still just some issues with the technology itself that can be a little bit limiting towards people.
Mm-hmm. And then also the controllers, right? Like, if you can't
exactly
use your hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. People have asked us if, you know, a part of Pillow Talk in general, if we would make an episode that is for people with disabilities, mm-hmm. which we didn't even think about, that is something that I am so privileged to, that doesn't occur to me.
Yeah.
of, you know, especially with the communication and consent one, if people maybe have a harder time communicating with people, it's just, it all comes, yeah, with trying to be as inclusive, but also realizing that, yeah, this isn't, we know that Pillow Talk is not
completely accessible.
Exactly,
to, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's not like we've done all these three topics and we're done. Like, we know that there's always room to include more experiences that are, that can be more inclusive.
So those are some of the inaccessible, like, natures of VR, but why use VR as a medium for sex ed in general?
We think that at least just learning sex education when you are in high school and just being in classroom settings where you are with your other classmates and peers and it's uncomfortable and talking about learning about topics that there is a stigma around or that are taboo and maybe uncomfortable and too intimate to be around other people and you learning and discussing that we just feel that being in a virtual space, being in a single player virtual reality experience, because there are multiplayer where, you know, I can put on headset and you guys can put on headset and I can see you, but we do not want that. That we feel like having that you being alone in this intimate environment and learning about these topics, you would be able to gain more because you don't necessarily have the distraction of other people. And I went to an all-girls school. Like I was fortunate enough to go to an all-girls school and going through my sex education classes, but we still were, you know, maybe not taking it seriously and laughing.
And the one person who does take it seriously, it's like, why do you care?
Exactly. Like, you don't. These are just sensitive topics that that you want to be that in a private, you want that privacy a lot of the times. And we feel that, just talking about topics that are like just as sensitive as sex education and talking about your body and sexuality is that our users would be able to gain more by being in a private, intimate setting.
Totally. So can people still see Lube River?
So people can. That is what we are, I guess, still struggling with in regards to the medium that we are using, because VR is so inaccessible now if it's not on the web.
Yeah.
Because if it's on the web, other people can see it. But a lot of the times with web virtual reality, you can't interact with it. Like, you're not, you know, you're still, it's still a one, it's still on a screen. So you can't, you know, you're not immersed in the experience and you can't use the controllers. You can maybe use your mouse to look around the 360 environment on your screen, but you can't interact with the objects. And so we want our users to still be able to interact with what you experience, but we know that we have to tour the installation in that because of that purpose.
Yeah.
So we can't just, so we have to, you know, bring it to schools or bring it to, as of now, because Lube River is partnering with Babeland and we have Babeland as our host. So they have a sex education workshop that's in addition to our Lube River experience. And so it's supplemented with their workshop and they have their amazing sex educators who talk more about the sex toys and talk more about the importance of lubricants and they just have more experience in educating, you know, just anybody about these types of topics. So as of now, we've been only able to show Lube River at Babeland, although that is open to the public. But we know that eventually we want to have it tour to places. It's just a matter of funding. And the same with the communication and consent. This is ideally we want, especially in high schools, because that's when people are, you know, maybe exploring relationships for the first time and maybe when this is the most important. And it's as of, we just really need, it's just a matter of funding for us to be bringing it to places because VR does not come cheap. The technology and touring all of the moving pieces and building the game in and of itself, it's a very long time-consuming process.
Yeah. So are you guys, like, looking for other funders right now and stuff?
Yeah. So as of now, we are trying to reach out to different partners and people who can either write and just applying to different grants and reaching out to different people who could potentially fund it or but
sounds like the process is kind of difficult
because it's always a matter of do you want to fund us, give us money but not have creative control necessarily because our idea is our experience that we don't necessarily want
Yeah.
Companies and, you know, maybe other corporations, because we know that especially consent is such a hot topic now, that if people want to use it for maybe ways that we don't feel like they should be using, or it's like, why? We've been reached out with certain companies that, like a porn company, I won't say which porn company yet, but mm-hmm. have reached out to us about potentially partnering with us for this installation. And yeah. You know, had responded like, potentially, we are hesitant to work with you because you sometimes feature porn that is pretty violent. It seems like, you know, the people aren't asking for consent, and we don't feel comfortable working with you if mm-hmm. you're sponsoring this installation, if you are not taking down your rape porn or things that are, that we just maybe don't agree. It's just, you know, we feel that. We want to take money that we...
Good money.
Good money.
Not dirty money.
That we feel ethically good taking.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, shout out to you guys for doing that.
It's,
seriously.
It's a little... It's difficult.
Capitalism is hard,
it is
man.
Hard. It's so hard. You want to make money. And you want to feature yourself and make the work that you feel passionate about.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times, the fun, and especially we're with the work that you guys do and that we do, like, it's, there isn't much money in that field. So, yeah.
It's difficult.
It's difficult.
Is there any, okay, I'm real ignorant. So, like, the Oculus Rift,
mm-hmm.
that's something, that's not even what I was going to say. Never mind. Toss that out the window. You know when people put cardboard boxes over their phones?
Yeah.
What's that?
So, that, it's like a Google Cardboard, mm-hmm. which... That is very accessible because it's, I think, ranges from like $20 to $50.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you can just attach to your phone and you know, use an app or that's where you can look at WebVR on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
it still doesn't have the immersive thing.
Exactly.
Okay, because you need controllers for
exactly.
that. Gotcha.
Right. So you're still immersed in the environment and mm-hmm. you can look 360 where you can turn your head around and see, the scene that's there, but you can't necessarily pick up things.
Which is like so integral
right,
to.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right.
Wow. VR is cool, man. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to interrupt this episode, but do you hear that? That's the sound of my pee not coming out when I get a UTI, and it is the worst. If you're someone who gets frequent UTIs, you are not alone. UTIs are the second most common infection in the United States, and half of folks with vaginas get UTIs, and about 1 in 5 of us struggle with recurring UTIs. So if you get UTIs, you know that cranberry juice doesn't do much, and taking too many antibiotics can really mess up like your equilibrium about what's going on there, because then you take some, and then you have like a yeast infection, and you take some for that, and then you have BV, and then you take some for that, and you have UTIs all over again, it's a mess. So what should you do? You use Eucora, which is the natural, effective way to prevent UTIs. So Eucora was developed by using the best research available in collaboration with a team of physicians. Eucora's unique formula targets bacteria and enables you to safely flush bacteria out of your urinary tract, stopping UTIs before they can even start. Just mix it with water and drink it after intimacy or exercise or whenever you think you might be at risk for a UTI. And if you don't know what causes your UTIs, Eucora has you covered on a day-to-day basis too. It's natural and it tastes like pink lemonade, which is one of my favorite drinks. Try Eucora and break free from the endless cycle of UTIs and all of those antibiotics. Now you hear that? That is the sound of a normal non-UTI pee flow. If you'd like your pee to sound like that, get Eucora and say goodbye to UTIs. Right now, Eucora is offering 30% off when you text RISE to 484848. But hurry! This is a limited time offer. So text RISE to 484848 to get 30% off your order of Eucora. That is RISE to 484848. Now let's get back to talking to Leah about VR and sex tech. So let's just talk about, like, sex tech in general.
Okay.
So I feel like the sex industry right now and the tech industry are both places that are being disrupted by queer people and women
and people
of color and stuff. Huh?
Disrupted?
Yeah, that's like a thing that people say. The disruptors in an industry.
Okay.
Like, there's disruptors in new space technology. It's, I don't know. It's a thing.
I like that language.
Yeah. Why?
Because it sounds very, this is the way it should be, and here come these troublemakers.
When people use it, they mean it in a positive light, though, but that they are making trouble for the existing things that already exist.
Right.
Okay. So it's kind of, it is what you're saying, but it's not a pejorative
connotation. Okay. Okay.
But,
right.
People are fucking shit up. You want me to say that? yeah. And I actually met you guys at the podcast live show for the Future of Sex Tech show. So there's like a lot of buzz at this intersection.
Right.
So what is the climate like in general for the sex tech industry as someone who's been navigating it for the past year or so?
Right. I would think and hope, and from my experience, I would say that I feel the future of sex tech is female-focused, or in the sense that there are a lot of women who are trying to start their own businesses and making, you know, products by women for whomever, that's just from a female perspective, I guess. Mm-hmm. We have been fortunate enough that we are members of the Women of Sex Tech, and that just opened doors to a whole community of people that we had no idea that this was. And because our experience in this field has just been through Pillow Talk, that our only experience has been with working with other women who are in this field. So I have had the best and most pleasurable experiences working with women who are so supportive in other people's companies and startups and their products, that, and just with just the future of technology, there's just so many new and amazing products that are coming out that's just for all different types of people and material. I'm just always shocked every time I walk into Babeland or another, you know, adult toy store of just what they have. I feel like it's always changing. And I'm like, I had no idea that I could sync up my Spotify and sync and make a vibrator pulse to Rihanna. Like, what? This is amazing. Yes. I can even control it from my phone to my partner.
Yeah.
And then if they're using their, you know, vibrator, anything, I can control it from my phone.
Yeah.
And then have my own, you know, playlist of vibration buzzes, and then I could just send it over and then just control it. It is just amazing.
Yeah.
Of just emerging technology and how people are using that to explore their sexuality. So, yeah, it's a good time. And I just think that because of the fact that there are more women and people of color and queer folk just who are trying to disrupt these industries and get that, I just feel like it's becoming more inclusive and just, I guess, showcasing just other people's experiences that we have not been in, that we just have not seen,
because those people were like shut white out. Men.
Yeah, yeah. Like this is all from the males, from the male gaze.
So we talked about this probably last season with Lydia Bonilla, who is one of the founders of Women in Sex Tech. But for people who haven't listened to that episode, can you just explain what that organization is and how you became involved in it?
So the Women of Sex Tech is just an organization of members who are either artists, entrepreneurs, sex educators, technologists. who are creating work that's in the realm of sexuality, sex education. And so it's just a network of these people who, you know, Women of Sex just host events, and that if you are a teacher at Columbia or work at Babeland or you started your own website that focuses on just masturbating, it's just anything that's, if you are female identifying, your work is related in sex, doesn't have to be technology based, but just related in that field. It's just a network of all of these amazing people, and everybody's super supportive and collaborative. And
do you think without that network you'd be able to like be where you guys are with Motherload right now?
I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't be here to meet you guys. Because that was the Women of Sex Tech. Because Lube River featured products that were only from female-founded companies, that were all not to say that we wouldn't have gotten access otherwise, but I do feel like being a part of the community, we were able to connect with the founders of Dame and Unbound and all the companies that we had featured in Lube River a lot easier. And just of the fact that because we're part of this community, we, you know, there's the podcast taping, there's there's the sex tech hackathon, there's just all these different events that are happening every month that allows us to be making these types of connections for people who, you know, work in the same industry for future collaborations.
In terms of the demographic of women of sex tech, obviously it's women. But what's like the age like? What's the racial demographic like? Are there trans women there? Are there are non-binary folks? I think non-binary folks are included.
Yeah, there are non-binary and queer people for sure. But I would say that, and I think this is just a lot of industries. I'm not going to say that it's only the women of sex tech or sex tech, but I will say that there's always room for more people of color. So I would say that what a woman of sex tech event was, you know, creating signs for the Women's March last year that I had attended, and it was such a supportive group of people, and we're all marching and we're all fighting for gender equality, and that's amazing. But I definitely realized there that I was, you know, one of the few women of color, and I'm just, you know, why are we marching for this but not for other rallies? Why it's not to say that it is made up of just what you would assume a white girl feminist would be. But it just there is just always room for other voices that are not female identifying and or white, because as our relationship, at least my relationship with sex, has so much to do with my identity as being a second generation and immigrant of parents who are from Korea and very conservative. So it's, you know, that's how I identify. And that's definitely a reason why my sexuality is the way that it is, or my relationship to sex. So it is just always important, I feel like, just in these types of industries that are focused on, that are so personal, that it is just important that it's more diverse.
Because you're taking your personal experiences and building something out of that that so many people are going to identify with that wouldn't have if you weren't a part of making it. Cool. So an actionable item, I guess, like, so how did you find out about Women of Sex Tech? Like, how do, like, if there are, like, women of color listening or non-binary people of color listening who didn't know what that was before, like, how would they engage in it?
You can just reach out. We just reached out to the Women of Sex Tech. We had first contacted this amazing woman who started Taboo. I don't know if you've heard of Taboo, T-A-B-U.
I've seen that spelling before. I feel like we ran across them at Sex Expo, but didn't talk to them.
Girl Mia, she's unbelievable and just a genius and so smart. If you're listening, Mia, you're amazing. And so she has a website.
She has an app. Mia Davis?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Definitely know who she is. Cool.
And so we had originally just, I don't even know how I think we just reached out to her on Taboo and we're like, you are, you know, your website is all in sex education and talking about topics that we want to create a virtual reality series on. Is there any way that we can meet you and talk about how we can work together and maybe just get, you know, just pick your brain about this field, because she comes from a sex education background. And just through that, she had connected with, she had connected us to Women of Sex Tech. And then we had reached out to them and asked if we could be part of the network. And I think just anybody who is, you know, maybe who has done work or even wants to be doing work in this field, you can just reach out to one. They're very open to including members and they want their network to be expanding. So it's not like an application process to be part of the community. I think you just have to reach out to them. Just on their website.
And is it like welcoming for all these people who are not there?
Yes. Definitely. Even though there is room for maybe just more diversity, I would say that all of the leaders and the organizers behind it are so, and all just the people who are there and show up to the meetings are very supportive and, yeah, willing to help you and your field and your company grow, I would say.
Cool. Outside of that, do you have any other advice for women of color and queer folks of color who want to get into the sex tech industry? Or, I guess, like, visual arts? Digital art?
Yeah, it's... I would say that it's a very interesting and exciting time for people who, you know, maybe voices have been silenced or unheard or just not appreciated before to be working in technology and to be creating content, because I do think that there is more of at least a desire or curiosity of new voices and experiences that people are maybe just not used to seeing in media that we focus on, at least with our VR content, on creating work that, yeah, just not like hasn't been done before, but just on maybe experiences that aren't. Because technology is so, or this type of technology is new and it's emerging and it's so advanced, that I feel like there's just so many possibilities as to what you are creating, that a lot of people think that with virtual reality, it's either porn or just games. Like, it's, you know, made for men who want to play Call of Duty in a virtual environment, just in just for a specific type of person. But people maybe don't understand that, like, yeah, this is for anybody. Anybody can use this. Anybody can create what content that they want to be seeing on this, in this medium.
Yeah.
That we like to create things that, you know, maybe people won't expect to, or people don't think that people can learn through VR as like an educational medium or something that's talking about sex or experiences that are more informative than just a game or just for fun and just for entertainment or just for sex or porn. That to, you know, have to create work that's just at the intersection of all these different, that it's artistic, that it has our aesthetic, that it's also informative, but it's also fun and playful because it is interactive and it is still a game and it does still focus on our experience. That I would just say for people who maybe would be a little more intimidated to be working in this industry, it's as excluding as it may seem like it could be because it is so heavily male dominated, it's, I would say that there are, because technology is so, that it's changing and there's new products and things always coming, there's just always avenues for people to create work that they want to see.
Yeah.
So for us, Motherload was just a response to the VR games that we were showing. We're like, we would never play this on our own. We don't care about shooting people. We don't care about, we don't want to perpetuate violence in our, you know, it's just, the, why don't we just create our own work then that we would want to be seeing? If we are, that obviously comes with, that we've been fortunate enough that we've had the privilege and education to be able to create content like this. So that also comes with, that is also hard, that I do understand that people who also want to be working in tech and creating content that they, you know, maybe hadn't seen, that they want to be seeing, that does also come with a lot of maybe privileges that and education, because it is hard to have the money to be willing to spend on this type of technology because it is expensive, it is inaccessible, it is hard to learn sometimes of, you know, how to code and these type of programs that are costly to learn. So with that, that's can be unfortunate of how expensive and time consuming it can be. But once, but if you are willing to make that, spend your time and money on this, I do feel like there is, there are opportunities for queer folk and people of color to be creating content that they want to be seeing if they feel like they've been excluded from just what has already been out there.
So that's like a good way to put it. So like, everything is like mad hard to get into in the first place, but sometimes the barrier, like besides the educational and like monetary barriers, the barrier is just like, well, why would I do that? Because that's a space that's like totally unwelcoming of me. So basically what we're saying is like, go through it anyway.
Yeah, or it's because of the fact that my partners and I, it was just two of the women, we were able to create this game and are creating this game on our own. And because technology, though it is, can be inaccessible and very expensive to own and learn, it is still like I can do this on my own, and I don't need a team of people, at least especially with VR specifically.
As opposed to like filmmaking where you need a whole crew.
Where you need
like
a story. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Like you need to be, where you need to be shooting real people.
Yeah.
Or you need a team of people to be creating a message or a narrative. Whereas with, you know, other types of artwork, especially in the digital field, that it is like because our stuff is computer generated, that it is animated, that we don't, you know, we're not using real people as characters in our experience. Like we could technically
create
and
a
we have
whole
been doing
world
just whole
by yourself.
World. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So if you feel like you don't want to be, and I think that's what we had just learned from maybe working in environments that we just didn't, that were pretty sexist and we didn't feel comfortable and passionate about succeeding in, because why would we just work at these types of startups that maybe are not appreciating our voices? Then like, just if we have the ability and opportunity to do it on our own, we should, and why not? And I just think that a lot of our work that we get is through Instagram. That we have been able to create a brand, and I think just with artists it's a lot easier to create, maybe easier not the right term, but it's definitely a lot more maybe easier just to get your name out there.
Yeah, no, I'd
through
definitely
Instagram.
Say it's easier. Yeah. Before there was like nothing. Now
no
people
mediums.
Can access
exactly.
yeah, other people
right.
very easily.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
With a hashtag.
Right. I guess now it's just there's so many more people who are on Instagram who are identifying them, who, you know, are creating work and showcasing their work through their Instagram, that there is just maybe an oversaturated network of that type of content. But that's not to say that you can't establish your own brand and your own voice through these mediums. And that's how you kind of get your work out there and showed. And that's how we were able to create our own aesthetic and get work off of just doing work that we're passionate about and then posting about it because we're passionate about it. And hopefully the, chances and opportunities will come from that. So I would say, create work that you want to create and you want to see.
Cool.
And hopefully the opportunities will come.
So I would say to the art school students listening right now, this is like really who that's geared towards. Like, don't stop, maybe.
Right.
If you have the money to keep going.
If you have, the time and the money and just the lack of social, just of wanting to be social, because I definitely have learned that being in this field or starting your own, you know, lab or studio like this, you are, it is a never-ending full-time. I mean, because you guys created your own podcast and like lifestyle around this.
To a certain extent, it does become your life.
Your life. It becomes your life. You're always focused on what you can, who you can interview next, who you can talk about next, or what type of topics that you want to be covering. It's it's a constant, but so you have to be just super passionate about it and coming from your own experience.
Yes.
Yeah, for the long haul.
Damn. Art is hard, man.
It's hard.
But it's good and it's necessary work that you're doing. Speaking of art, what is your aesthetic like? It seems very like 90s digital like ho to me. But how would you describe it?
I feel like it does have a more feminine aesthetic that we, in that like we do like to use characters that at least like we feel comfortable, that we associate ourselves, that identify with to some extent.
Okay. And represent you?
Represent us, but in, I don't know.
Like
I just,
an abstract sort of way?
Yeah, I mean, with a lot of the 3D models in that way, like we don't, it is always hard for us to say, let's create an experience as inclusive, but like, because it is computer generated and animated, how do we even start about creating, you know, a female identifying person? What does that even mean? Like, how do we make some character that we're just creating out of nowhere and modeling? How do we make, we want other people to associate that person with as a woman, but like, how do we even attribute any characteristics like then does a woman have to have, you know, longer hair? Yeah. Does a woman have to be wearing a dress? Does a woman... Yeah. So I'm always hesitant to say, like, we have a feminine aesthetic, but because I do identify as a woman, I would say that a lot of the work that... A lot of the content that we make are something that I just like creating that makes me feel pretty. Yeah. That I just feel that I feel that it's sexy and it's something that I would want to be seeing. So it's a lot of, and you know, my favorite colors are pinks and purples and colors that just are bright and make me feel happy. So a lot of our aesthetic are...
It's femme.
It is femme. That's cool. It's femme and it's, you know, maybe a little bit experimental because sometimes it might make you feel a little uncomfortable in a way because it's something that, because we are using 3D and computer generated images, we would like to create things that you wouldn't normally like, you know, like to see in real life or be able to recreate in real life. Mm-hmm. So a lot of maybe just weird things like something coming out of somebody's nose or something that's like, why is this creature coming from my belly button? That's more like, it's just things that are.
Yeah. I saw one where it was like somebody throwing up themselves and like re-eating themselves or something like that.
So yeah, some, you know, maybe some body regurgitation.
Yeah. No bigs.
Things that could be just... We like to use all the different possibilities that can be, the possibilities that come within a 3D or virtual environment, because they are so endless of what you can create and what you can make your models, because it is just coming out of somewhat nowhere.
Yeah.
That we're modeling these just abstract 3D models, mm-hmm. and we like to have them be a little bit more, experimental and use kind of textures that are shiny and pretty and have why not be using everything and why not everything be rose gold and marble and just luxury aesthetics that we're not that I guess like that's just not a part of our everyday life that we would just like to be seeing in our content. So essentially I guess we just create our aesthetic is content that we would like to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To make us feel good.
Cool. I love it. Cool. You have any other questions?
No.
Cool. I just want to see Lube River now.
Yeah. Like, I just want to engage in these.
I want to take a ride down the, what is it, Vajandala?
The Vajandala. The Vajandala. So a gondola, it was originally a vagina-shaped gondola, which is why the Vajandala term was said, but then we had realized through a Babeland sex educator who is clearly infinitely smarter than we are, was saying how the shape is obviously what people would assume is a vagina is a vulva-shaped, that our gondola-shaped was.
Yeah.
So it's a vulva-shaped gondola, but we still like to say vagondola.
That's okay. That's we getcha.
Then vulvondola. We couldn't
figure that out. That doesn't roll off the tongue. Yeah. It's catchy.
We get it, Babeland. It looks like a vulva. It's okay. No, that's cool. Let people know where they can follow your work and Motherlode's work and all that good stuff.
So, yes, you can check out our work and what we've done before on motherlodelab.com. Motherlode is spelled L-O-D-E instead of L-O-A-D. Mm-hmm. It's a Sims reference.
I thought it was some computer thing.
It was some, So it's like the Motherlode bit spelled, L-O-D-E, lab.com.
Cool.
And, and just follow us on our Instagram where we typically just, we update more because, this is just the world that we live in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All through our phone.
Dope.
Awesome.
Thank you, Leah.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, that's it for another episode of Inner Ho Uprising. Thank you so much for listening. Check out Leah and Motherlode's socials in the description of this episode and follow Inner Ho Uprising on Twitter at Inner Ho Uprising without the G and Inner Ho Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. Please come through to Sex Trivia Sunday this Sunday at Love Story, sponsored by Pleasure Chest and hosted by your very own Sam and your also very own Rodecca, aka Rodicky. We're going to get real dicky up in there. No, we're not.
It's just sex trivia and giving away prizes. It'll be fun. Come through. Don't forget to buy tickets to IHU Live at the Not Yet Showcase, all of which will be in the description for this episode. That's it. Happy Halloween. Love you. Bye.